Hi, we are part of the Spectrum. We are a transdisciplinary and queer hackspace, as just mentioned. And today we'll show you two things, namely how we funded ourselves and why we might do that, and even partly how to do that. I'm multi, I use any pronouns, I come from a technical corner.
And I am Chef, and I use she-they pronouns, and I'm more located in the music industry and creative fields. And I would call myself a professional troublemaker working in safer spaces and accessibility.
So before we start, let's just go over meta stuff. This talk will contain traces of discrimination, suicide, politics, power, and food. It's entirely fine if you feel uncomfortable. Feel free to leave at any point. We don't feel offended by that. Your well-being is more important than this talk. Thank you. So you might now ask, hey, why not? Why would you create a new hackspace? Don't you have enough hackspaces already? Turns out, this is not that easy to answer. While there are existing hackspaces, they don't necessarily cover all needs we have. For example, some hackspaces focus on exclusively on technical hacking, which was very well covered in our case, but we wanted a hackspace which is more centered on artistic and also social expression. So we discovered, hey, okay, we are not fine with the current structures. We want to have a different one. How should that look like? We also found out, okay, marginalized entities seem to be a bit underrepresented. We want to make sure that artists and the works, even if they're marginalized, feel well in life. This is important for prioritizing needs, because sometimes needs conflict, and that is basically a tiebreaker for whose needs are respected and whose are not respected. Finally, there is also a question of governance. Who gets these spaces? Who manages these spaces? Who has control over these spaces? Who has power over these spaces? And also, how are they shielded from burnout? And how do we make sure that nobody feels left out? Finally, the most important thing, who is not there in the current spaces because they don't feel comfortable in them or just can't participate? This is the problem with the survivorship bias. We don't see who we don't see. So, third spaces are essential for a modern society that bases itself on ideas and innovation rather than just physical work. I believe that they are a core. I believe that we need more third spaces, and especially more diverse third spaces. Essentially, these third spaces allow the community, allow you to realize, okay, maybe you're not yourself are wrong, but the entities around you just don't fit you at the moment, and you need some context to calm down in and some context to find new connections in. It's important that you are not alone. This is very important for nerds too, which we may model as being in a dark corner on a desk. If that was true, we wouldn't be here. There would be no Congress. Nerds are, to some extent, entities too, and want to connect, want to be social. You might be surprised even that being social is actively beneficial to how you find ideas. And if you open yourself up to new ideas, even from not your field or wherever, you might just get a random idea to fix that stupid bug.
So we wanted to build a space that is based on accessibility, on inclusion, on connection. And we wanted to start it by having a basis in ethics and an awareness concept, a community care concept. And we wanted to see how can we accommodate marginalized people first and not for all. And of course, this will also benefit everyone else who's available, who can come to the space. So it's not like we're only for marginalized people, but we want to center queer, trans, disabled people, and everyone else that might not get space or priority in other spaces. So the main point for us is to connect with each other, to have a point where we can ask questions openly, feel safe enough to share experiences, even hard ones, and to support one another. And you can see this is like a picture of a toilet sign. This is the first thing we put up when we moved into the space, because we're part of a bigger community there, which we'll show you in a minute. And we basically only had gendered toilets, which we think is a bit old-fashioned, and we are of the opinion that toilets do not have a gender. So we put up those signs. That also explains why we don't want to have gender toilets, how they kind of discriminate against trans people, how they reinforce certain stereotypes and also cause harm to people, and that people can actually manage to get on an airplane, fly to places, get on a train, and even at home, they'll manage to actually use non-gendered toilets without having any issues. So we put up the signs, ungendered all bathrooms, and it was not a problem at all, which is a great thing. Actually, everyone was quite happy with the outcome. As far as I know, might always be someone who has not voiced it yet, of course. And we have a welcome Clippy. Some of you who are older might still remember Clippy slows down things and informs you about important information. In this case, Clippy is on our door. Together with those community rules about, like, please don't assume gender, please take care of each other if you see someone is suffering in some way, so they might need support, ask them if they could use some support. We want to talk about consent, that we only talk and act with each other when there is a yes and not just a maybe or no response at all. We are, of course, almost all of us neurodivergent, so a lot of us are have ADHD or have autism or other forms of neurodivergency, which means we have, of course, adjustable lights from very, very bright to very, very little, which most of us, I guess, prefer. We have noise-canceling headphones in case you forgot your own. We do not have any weird societal expectations of how to communicate, when to communicate, or how much eye contact is okay or not okay. And of course, fidget toys, blow highs, and other really big plushies are available if you need them at any time. We want to make a space that hopefully avoids as much as possible discrimination and harassment. It's about active conflict management, so talking about problems before they kind of like spiral out of control, in the best of cases, and take responsibility for making mistakes. That being said, if you start to change, if you try something new, you will make mistakes and things will happen, and that's okay, but you do need to have a way of taking responsibility for that. And of course, it's important, we want to build a space that is based on sharing knowledge and crossing fields, because we find that just being in one field is kind of not as inspiring than being in many fields or having contact with different fields, because you get new perspectives, you get new ideas, and you can actually benefit in many, many ways. So we're going to talk about some examples Bridges. Later.
Exactly. So turns out we are right now in a chaos world, if you will, but there's also out there a real world where we exist most of the time when we are not here. Turns out, we actually need both to form a better society. I believe that the chaos can show the real world some tricks, and the other way around too. The world really wants the world to open up. But for this, we first need to realize that hacking has to be more than just tech. Hacking includes art. Hacking has also to include questioning social expectations and also questioning social structures, like, for example, gender. Hacking also has to include deconstructing a system of authority and power to see how it works. If we don't know how it works, how can we have trust in it? Finally, just because everything can be hacked doesn't mean it should. For example, let's say you hack a hospital. That means you now have access to a lot of personal data. If you would just leak that, that would be very irresponsible. People could be harmed or even killed. So consider, please, not doing that.
This is, of course, just one example. And the other one that we often talk about is awareness and how, like, having awareness guidelines could create a moment where people would hack them. And just because you can doesn't mean you have to, I think.
Finally, hacking is also a way of working around restrictions imposed by others, or imposed by oneself, or imposed by how and which resources we have. For example, we might not be privileged to have access to infinite money virtually. We might not have resources here at the moment, but a few kilometers away or around the world. We might also have resources locked away or taken away by someone else and still want to use them. So hacking can fundamentally solve this, or approach this at least, by questioning what do we really need for that, for things to happen, and do we really need all the ingredients that we have been taught, or can we also leave some away?
So, if you like knitting, inclusion, cat ears of course, cooking, making music, awareness art, dance breaks, board games, flourishing, meowing, and randomly destroying induction plates through different methods, then our place might be the right place for you. What we want to show here is we're not about one thing, and we don't need to be, and we also don't want to limit us. We want to limit the people that come in by having a basis that is like bound in awareness and ethics, but what we want to do then when we're inside, it doesn't matter. Like, everyone can do whatever they feel like doing, and everyone can share their interests, and hopefully we can learn from each other. So it's like a toolbox for creating new ideas. So we are part of a larger setting, of two larger settings. The first of all is the Kreativquartier München, which is a very interesting space because it's the probably the last big area that is very free art in the center of the town. And it's also still the last one that's halfway affordable. It's very big. It has a lot of different kind of organizations. It has artists, it has a skate park, it has music club, but it also has like tafel, so food available for people who cannot afford to buy enough food for themselves, theater, music, and on. Hundreds of people actually occupy it, and there's a really big community there, which means we have resources that we can all share, and it also means we can like exchange ideas and collaborate on things, which is a very interesting place. And this is our second setting, it's Haus 2. It is, as you can tell, an older building, as the whole area is, and this is the way to our space. It's an interdisciplinary art space, and it's about collective exchange too, and sharing skills and growing together, which is a really good fit for us because it's basically also what we are interested in. You can see that the whole outside of the building is tagged in graffitis. This was an art project initiated by the house on de-gentrification. The whole graffiti scene of Munich and beyond was invited to actually tag it, even the illegal scene, whatever the differences be. And it wasn't about making it pretty, it was about reclaiming space as art, and that not everything needs to be all polished and nice and pretty and expensive, especially in a city like Munich where everything is so expensive already. And people who have less money get like pushed to the margins. Just some very random selections of artists that are part of the house. It's from people who are doing an archive on Third Spaces, which I really love, to light installations, painting, movies, and all kinds of other things. It's many, many more people. It's really just a very random selection, so you can have a look. We have an amazing attic, which is much bigger than you can see here. It has been used for installations and for events of different art places, which hopefully we can use more in the future. Also, we don't have so many pictures yet, but we have the whole length of the building basically also has basements, which will be used in the future for community purposes, for a woodworking area, for electronics, for printing, for pottery kilns, for anything that we feel like wanting to do, and there's a lot of space in there, and we want to have a shared resources down there, at least that is the dream. This is our community space. It does not look so great yet. That has to do with the fact that we are not renting it officially yet from the city, but we will be soon. And then we can definitely turn it into something a little nicer. It's about 70 square meters, so it has a really good size for meeting and for talking, doing small workshops and such. And yes, that brings us to us.
Exactly. We are in house 2. We are, as you've seen up there, this was the room we started with. As you see, you see a pride flag, we see a window, and somebody sitting in the corner programming. Also, a unicorn programming, like all unicorns do all the time. This was intermediate build-up. We already have a piano, we already have shelves, we already have a sofa, which is where the picture is taken from. We already have a desk, we already have a corner, which isn't visible, but it's around the shelf. We also have a collaborative working space in the front right. And we also have a couple of spaces right above. You don't see it that well, but it's above the flags. There's mattresses there and pillows, which is perfect for extended cuddle sessions. If, for example, you have a wild idea, but just need to calm down a bit and think about it, it's entirely fair to just do that in the space. Similarly, we have cat ears, which are canonically the reason that the Spectrum is a cat and the Spectrum meows.
Meow. And of course, they're also flouchy.
This is another perspective. This is from the top. You see the same things again in the first shot, just from the other side.
Yeah, and that brings us to some examples of how we already been working or imagining working on sharing knowledge and collaborations. So a very easy example is what happens if you combine 3D printing, LEDs, soldering, awareness, and Rust. Yes, it's very cute cat ears. That is not so surprising yet. But what actually happened was it gave me the idea that, and this would not work at all at chaos events, given, but it does work in any kind of music festival setting where you have like large crowds, very dark spaces, and problems finding awareness teams. And those LEDs light up very high, so you can actually find the people very, very quickly. We don't use that as the only marker. We always use two markers. So we avoid having like people getting confused because maybe someone random does have cat ears for some reason or other. This is just one example of how you can actually use those combined skills and exchange ideas, and then something new pops out of that. This is another example. It's a close swap. It might be very boring for some, but we have a lot of trans people. And what happens when you transition is that you have to get a new wardrobe, and you have no idea what would fit. And you might feel awkward, you don't know how your body goes into something different. It can be a very vulnerable space, and if you have no support or know no one else who's trans, it can be very hard to do. So this was a really great event that we did where we could like get rid of dysphoric clothing that doesn't fit our identity anymore and explore other gender expressions, get like some help and support and encouragement from other trans people while also like talking about general topics and giving advice to each other. And so this very simple clothes web already has a social agenda to it. Another one that is very basic, but actually very good for integrating people who are more like on the quiet side, we do community cooking. Because who has gone to a hackspace and a new hackspace or the first time to hackspace and no one said hello? Everyone's sitting on a corner, everyone is like on their computers. Not because they're unfriendly, because mostly they're just the same awkward on the other side, and all sides awkward means no interaction, unless you already know someone. But it can be very hard to get into that. So if you have a community cooking event, it means you don't have to talk. You can just do some veggie chopping. You can just sit down. You can just slowly calm down and get into the space. And you actually will stay on more likely. It creates community. Doing things together without having anything that you need to know about it can create community. And of course, we also have a repo with our favorite recipes. And it's going to be growing and going to be a really great cookbook. Yeah. That also happened. We got inspired a little bit by what the Meta Lab in Vienna is doing on deaf inclusion. We're also working a little bit with people who are deaf musicians. So we just did a very small thing. This is nothing great. I hope in the future we will be able to do a lot more in that perspective. But just to have like the sign language up so people can take a look and maybe learn some sign language as a first step. Unfortunately, we do have steps, so we're on the first floor, so at the moment with the wheelchair there's no access, which is not great, but we were very limited about finding a place that's actually that we can afford, that's free, and that's not like in, I don't know, Nuremberg, although I kind of doubt there's probably also a very expensive rent in Nuremberg. Hopefully there is an elevator that is not in use anymore. We hope it will come back someday. Some of you may or may not have come to our meetup, which happened yesterday. We did one on mental health and suicide prevention. This year was a very hard year for many of us, and this is also something that's very, very important to us, to work on pooling the resources and the tools for mental health and suicide prevention together as a community, not just for hackspaces and chaos events, but for everyone to give people possibilities how we can support each other. And there's going to be a personal crisis emergency plan. At the moment, it's only in German, but it will be translated. And the link is not yet working, but you can take a picture if you like. It will be working with the next 1 or 2 weeks, and you can already look at it. The beta is up in Comuna at the Spectrum Assembly. You can look at it. It's on one of the walls already. And one of the last things is, I think you all have gone around and seen some great knowledge, apps, tools, resources on accessibility at Congress or other CARES events, like the tactile maps, for example, or other things. And it's very sad that often those things stay within the hack spaces or within the CARES events, but outside world doesn't know about it. And it would be so amazing if more people will know about it, because then they can also use those tools to create more accessibility. So putting those informations together, and just, and even just a wiki with just a simple overview, this is available, and how to do it, can already create a different environment for people and make it easier for everyone to get access to places.
So you've seen that a hackspace like this can actually help solve problems, not just be a fun time together, although that is, of course, part of the experience. So I hope you got you hooked. Now, how? We've got a long list here, but first of all, you need some people. You need to ask, okay, who do you want to have a hackspace with? Maybe you don't even need a physical space yet. You can also just meet at another physical space, and for now, just ask, hey, what are our common interests? What would you need from a space? Which boundaries would be set? Whose needs would be prioritized? What do we prioritize? Do we want to have some accessibility for sure? For example, not being on the first floor without an elevator? Or do we want to make sure that we have a large enough space? Notably also, what kind of governance structure do we want to have? Do you want to have some kind of strict hierarchy that can work sometimes? Or do you want to have something entirely loose that can also work sometimes? That depends on you and your groups. Notably, you also need to take care that no one single entity takes too much responsibility, because otherwise you're making yourself vulnerable to burnout. You mostly notice that by not being really able to associate yourself with one thing in the space, and if you ask around, you might find out others are feeling the same, and which usually means Vorstand is doing everything and the rest of the club is doing nothing. So please do talk to your Vorstands. Mostly, you need to stop thinking in terms of just yourself, and more in terms of what can you together achieve. Because who knows what synergies might appear? So you might ask, okay, when should I do it? Right now. You can think right now what exactly you need from a space. If you even want a space, if you are happy with your current spaces, there's nothing stopping you from questioning that. So, do you have any questions? Or many questions, maybe.
Just not about the network there, because we have a lot of questions about that too. Yes, it goes out of the building and comes back. And yes, there's fiber that is not in use, but no one knows why. Not even the company.
So thank you very much for this very interesting talk. Please, another warm welcome, a round of applause for the two. And if you have any questions, we have two microphones here in the room, and you can also send in questions via the internet, and we have a wonderful signal angel who will screen the social media and the IRC channel for any questions. First questions, please, on microphone 2.
Yeah, thank you very much for having this awesome hackerspace and presenting it here. I guess my younger me would love to be hanging out there, probably even now. So thank you very much to make this happen. And my question is more like, what specifically could support your hackerspace and other ones? Like maybe you have some concrete ideas where people not living near or close by can support. Thanks.
How can you support? I think.
So if I understand the question right, how can local hackerspaces support each other? Is that what you meant?
Yeah, for example, how could other hackerspaces support your hackerspace or individual people? Like, I don't know.
Ah, okay. That is primarily possible via knowledge exchange. You can find out if your structures work for each other and maybe share, for example, how your bylaws are created if you're a legal organization or if you're not a legal organization, if that works for you. You can exchange technical knowledge, for example, for how to set up infrastructure, which infrastructure has proven useful, what kind of task distribution has proven useful. For example, we set up a Kanban in the early stages, which was really useful with build-up, but it got kind of stale over time, since we need to constantly introduce new people. And also, you can consider sharing some infrastructure, but that's only possible if you trust each other enough. So for example, one space being primarily technical, not all that's Atistic can take care of hosting an XLS image with, I don't know, a crypt pad, and other spaces can take care of, for example, doing wall or art, wall design for each other. So that's a few examples.
Yeah, collaboration, I think, is like talking and collaborating and seeing where are the strengths, where are the weaknesses of that everyone has. I mean, that's totally fine. And seeing how you can support one another in any kind of way that might be possible. And I think you just have to meet and talk and see how things can progress from there and how much or how little you want to invest in it. Both is totally fine. But yeah, I think the more conversations happen, the better.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you.
And I think there's another question also from microphone two.
Hey. So yeah, I thought it was nice to see how you deal with different kinds of marginalization in specific ways. Something that is on my mind is that racism is a huge problem in society, and especially in technology. I also noticed this in the Netherlands, where I'm from. And racialized people are often marginalized to the category, quote unquote, other marginalized people. So my question is, how do you include racialized people? And for example, deal with whiteness?
It is a problem for sure. And we have people of color participating, but we definitely do not have them yet in the organization itself. So this is a work in progress, but it's a very important topic. So yes, I can say it's a work in progress. I personally would love to also see if we can offer like a whole, because we have empty rooms in the house itself, to maybe also open up rooms for specialized communities or smaller communities, like deaf people having like their own room, but also us collaborating or talking, and people of color having also another room, but also being more and more so that that they have a safe space, but also that we can grow together organically, I guess. I have not found a perfect way yet. I think no one has, but it's definitely a very important question because we do know that intersectionality is a really big issue. And yeah, we're very white spaces, especially Congress and chaos.
We do not have one excellent approach for this. One thing that worked quite well for me personally, also for the space, I think, was giving opportunities for, first of all, noticing biases, and then second of all, also destroying them, for example, explicit cultural exchange. Food is one kind of cultural exchange. If we cook together and decide what to cook together, that is a possibility, we can have some cultural exchange. Another possibility is, in our case, we are kind of lucky, that in the same house we have a few people from Balkan, which we exchange with and also sometimes plan to... Has this happened yet? And so, well, you want to share the same spaces because they have more specialized tools for fine drawings and for architecture, for example, whereas we have more space and more a vast set of utilities and more space. So there's, unfortunately, I don't think there's a simple solution to this. We try our best by offering opportunities for cultural exchange and connecting with entities around us. I'm sure that's not the only thing we can do, but we don't have a better idea at the moment. So you're welcome to join if you want to.
I think it's also about building trust and building connections slowly and not just like top-downing things, but having conversations about what communities want and need and seeing what we can accommodate and how we can make it happen over time, and keeping it on our mind along the way and not losing focus that even though we might be like less privileged in some ways, doesn't mean that we are not very privileged in other ways. think that's also like being observant of your own privileges is also a part of the process.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
I think we have another question from the internet.
Yeah, we have two of them. The first is, I see the website has both English and German, and the talk is in English. What's the language usage like in the Hackspace?
Mostly English, then it switches sometimes around, but since there's a lot of people who are international, and that's also something that was important, I think, to us, kind of happened, but more or less we all then mostly speak English. Sometimes some people do not speak as well English, so we switch a little or we go back and forth, but we do try to be inclusive as much as possible and just try to see who's in the room and how should we be communicating with each other.
Yeah, we by default assume English. If that doesn't work out, we try alternatives.
Meowing.
Context being primarily that we don't want to stigmatize if somebody doesn't speak German. If we exactly know who is present, we may sometimes switch to German out by habits, but we try to stick to English as much as possible.
And I think there was a
second question. Yeah. Second question, are there any connections or collaborations or projects or something with other hackspaces in the area, or are there any planned?
We are talking with a lot of people on the Kreativquartier, so there's the Munich Maker Lab, for example, there's Vagbox, which does a lot of work with woodwork or with soldering or with large tools. For example, we are working with them on pottery stuff because we don't have our own kiln yet, and they're actually letting us use theirs, and we're helping them with their website and techie problems. So there's like collaboration starting, and then the whole whole area has several events actually, and we're now starting new projects for next year, which then will bring together hopefully a lot more interesting collaborations for the futures and thinking about how we can like make art and activism and hacking and everything else come together in interesting ways for everyone to participate.
Then the next question is from microphone one.
Yes, thank you. So you've been talking about cooking together, which is great, and you've mentioned the Kanban board for organizing stuff while building up the space. You also mentioned that this kind of got stalled, which made me wondering. Coming from my experience, it's kind of hard to organize regular care work like tidying, cleaning. And I wonder, do you organize that in a specific way? Or just a short question, who cleans the toilet?
I think no one. Okay. No, actually, we have community toilets with the whole house, so this is actually done by someone external. So luckily, that's not in our area, and everything else. So far, there's like everyone is pitching in.
Yeah.
And I think with this more people, it definitely needs more structured approaches to that. That's sure.
And the problem we have right now is that everyone has very different availabilities. Some entities can be there all the time but have very little spoons, so can't do all that much. Some entities like me travel a lot and are sometimes there but have bursts of insane energy. So and then tend to clean up a bit too much. We try to even it out if we use the chats as some kind of glue to put that back together. If you see, okay, the dishes haven't been done in a while. Maybe you should do that and know that next time somebody has spoons, they should probably focus on that first. It has worked also for without explicit structure. I doubt it will stay like that very long. We probably will need to figure out some kind of Kanban or some kind of explicit responsibility delegation. But also, we'll figure that out.
We'd like to have a quickie, but we cannot decide on which. Yeah. It already was a lot of switching between repos, so I'm still recovering from that. I'm sure we'll get there over time, but yeah, it's something to keep in mind. Seeing maybe someone wants to do more, I don't know, building like the home assistant and someone works on a network and someone does the cooking and someone does the cleaning, and then that just is about communication. I think all of this is about communication. And staying in communication and not getting frustrated or angry or talking before it goes and explodes. So before we get too frustrated, we need to talk about it. And that might not always be the case because we all have a lot of ADHD and like our emotional control might not always be the best, but like then also talking about that, I guess. And so it will be a lot about communication further on. So far, of course, a lot of us are, I think all of us are friends, and now we had opening weekends, and there was a lot of people there. The more people come in, of course, the more the structure changes over time. So that's why we also want to be mindful who we integrate for the long term, I guess, which doesn't mean that people can come in for the events, but who gets to grow in, that should be done slowly. We don't want to grow just to have more members and have more members' fees or so, but we want to really take it slow and build over time and be careful. And then we'll see how it goes. Maybe next year we can give you an update.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, pretty much. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Are there any more questions? And I have another one. Where can people meet you, contact you? You already have the email address up, but can they find out more about that? Where can they meet you here in person, maybe even on Congress?
Well, we are packing up quite soon, Sandy, unfortunately. We are leaving tomorrow, at least you. I run around here in Congress. You can DM me anytime via Mastodon, via the Fediverse multisn8@mastodon.catgirl.cloud. Other than that, you are welcome to join our Metrics chat, which is linked on the bottom of our web page. Just scroll down to the very bottom, there is chat. We also have a Signal channel if you like something low volume just for events. We also have that, but it's just writable by events.
So yeah, on the website, all of those contact possibilities are listed. And if you have a question, just, yeah, there's the Fediverse, we're even on Instagram, we're old school.
Yeah. I see.
And everything else, yeah, is on the website. So do reach out, and if you see us running around, just say hello.
Well then, if there aren't any more questions, I want to thank Health and Multi again for this wonderful talk. Please, another warm round of applause for the two.